Scripture today is from Romans 12 and verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren or brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen. Father, help us this morning to just hear and take into our hearts what you have for us today. Be with Rose, Lesser, and we thank you so much for everything you do.
Amen. What in the world
is discernment anyway? We are beginning a three-part series thinking about discernment. And today we're thinking more as individuals, but we will be thinking as a church. And you have this picture on your bulletin. You have it up here in the front. You have it in the handout inside your bulletin. This idea of standing at a crossroads and trying to choose which way is the best way. Which way should I go? So what does discernment mean? Well, if you look it up in the dictionary, here are some definitions that you would find. It means to separate or discriminate, to determine or to decide or to distinguish between two things. A lot of times we think between right and wrong, if we're able to discern between right or wrong. Another maybe broader definition is the ability to see. The ability to see and understand things or people or situations very clearly, or understand maybe what lies beneath sometimes. If we take it a step further and look at spiritual discernment, this definition is a little bit different, but it adds to the regular definition of discernment. Discernment is a means by which people of faith come to understand God's will. Discernment is a means by which people of faith come to understand God's will. It's a process, right? It's a way that we begin. We don't know at first how to necessarily anticipate God's presence or know the direction God's going. It's something we learn over time as we come to know Christ and we listen for his call. And that's why we read Romans 12, 1 and 2 today, because in the second verse, it talks about being transformed so that you can discern God's will, so that you can know what God's will is. Now, whether we think about it or not, we are discerning every day. We are thinking and judging and choosing between things every day. Sometimes we do it really well, sometimes not so well, right? So, for example, we get a snow day, right? Or a day that's really cold and we don't have to go to school, kids. We have to discern. How are we going to spend our time? Sleep all day? You know, what are we going to do? That's discerning. Or we get a knock at the door. Go to the door. Figure out. You have to discern. Is that a person that we want to answer? We want to talk to? Do we trust them? You know, sometimes when I'm here alone at church, there's a knock on the door. I'm not quite sure who they are. I really rely on the Holy Spirit. I do. I ask, God, is this a person that I should answer? Is this a person we should give money to? That sort of thing. It's discerning. You want to go to the movies. You make a decision, right? You discern. Is this a good way to spend my money? Is this a good movie for me to see? Is this a good movie for my kids to see? Is this something that if I watch it is going to be filling me with good things? Or is it going to drag me down? Is it going to make me be afraid? We discern. Sometimes we discern well, sometimes not so well. Sometimes we discern between two good things, or like Pastor Rose calls you and says, "Oh, Phyllis, wouldn't you like to serve on this committee?" Right? You're like, "Well, I'm sure I'd be very good at it." But is it the best? Is it what God's inviting me to do? Is it the best way to use my time? Maybe I'm overcommitted and maybe I shouldn't do another thing, right? So instead of just saying yes, we should discern. We should think about it. We should pray about it. As a Christian, some things may seem very clear cut to you. You know, it may seem like there are options to go, but there's only one path that you should go. Right, because we have the Ten Commandments, we have laws like that from Scripture, and so if it says do not lie, well then we shouldn't lie, right? Well, what if somebody asks you something and if you have to say the answer, it's going to really hurt their feelings? What do you do? It's just a small lie, right? Well, you have to discern. You have to discern. Or another Scripture says do not worship false gods, and you think, well, I don't worship Baal. I don't follow another religion. Of course I don't worship false gods. But here's something in your life that's sucking up all your time and all your energy, and really what you're doing is worshiping it. Well, you have to discern. You have to discern. Am I worshiping false gods? Maybe I am, right? Or do not commit adultery. Pretty clear cut in Scripture. Do not do it. What if there's this person at work and you talk to them and you become more closer friends with them, and then you realize that something feels like it's maybe crossing a line, not a physical line, but a line of intimacy, a line of connection, and perhaps you need to discern that that relationship needs to change. So we are discerning all the time, even times where it seems clear cut, maybe we have to think and pray and ask God about it. So this is true for many things, right? We can go to Scripture and we can say, all right, God says to do it this way, we're going to do it this way. It doesn't seem that hard. We just do it. But even Christians with the best intentions, really desiring to follow God sometimes, can disagree about where to go. Like if we look in Scripture, one example Paul gives us is at that time, there were, in the cities where Christians lived, there was meat being sacrificed to idols. And some Christians thought it was okay to eat that meat later on. And other Christians thought it was absolutely not okay to eat that meat. And so that was a thing they had to discern about. And they didn't necessarily come down on the same side about that. But they all wanted to follow Jesus. And so Paul works with them and tries to teach them about to do it. Another time later on, some people thought everybody needed to be circumcised once they became a Christian if they were a man. Even if they had never been circumcised as a baby, even if they were, you know, had been a Gentile, they became a Christian. Another Christian said no. And so they had to discern about it. They had to say, well, what is the right way to go? And there were people that were on both sides of that, and they felt very strongly about it. But they needed to work through it to try to understand what the Spirit was saying. So how do we discern? Because sometimes it's clear cut and sometimes it feels fuzzy or it's not, you know, we live in 2018. It's not something that was necessarily spoken about in Scripture. And so we have to figure out how to discern, how to make good choices. So what are ways that we can do it? I'm just introducing this today. We're going to be spending more time in it. Okay. But we definitely go to Scripture. We definitely pray. We trust the Spirit. Sometimes if it's a really big deal that I really need to discern about, I might fast and pray. Okay? So some people, that's some things that they do. We also can talk to other believers about it, especially if they're believers that we know have a spiritual gift of discernment. It's kind of a special gift from the Holy Spirit. Talk to them. Seek the counsel of them. Sometimes, and this is something I've done in my life, is I'm standing in that crossroads, which way do I go, which way do I go, and it feels like I'm not getting an answer from God. Yes, go this way. Yes, go this way. Because sometimes we're choosing between two good things, honestly. We have to discern between two or three good things to do. And so sometimes when I don't get a clear answer from God, I say, you know what, not going to make a decision. Even if somebody's pressuring me to make a decision, I'm not going to make a decision right now because I don't have an answer from God. So I'm going to wait. I'm going to seek and take time out just to listen and hear from God and not try to rush into it, just even though somebody else might be pressuring me to rush into it. So these are ways we discern. Jesus himself discerned. There are times where it talks about he went away to pray, away from his, in fact, before he chose his disciples, he went away to discern of all the people he'd been meeting, which were the 12 he was to call, right? So he was discerning. He was learning to discern. And some of us might think, well, he didn't do a very good job because he chose Judas as one of his disciples. What's going on there? And that's a whole other conversation, right? But we try. We offer ourselves to God and we try. And God knows that we don't always get it right. But we try. We seek him and we desire to make a good choice. Now, oftentimes we only think about discernment when it comes to big things like, should I get married or should I move or should I change my job or things like that. But we need to practice discernment in the small things. Because if you don't practice it in the daily life, how in the world are you suddenly just going to magically know how to listen to God about a really big thing? We have to practice it in our daily, ordinary lives, how to listen and see which way God is sending us to go. And even then, we might not always get it right, like I said. I'll just share a quick experience. When I was out of college and in my second job, there was a situation that had come up. And my gut response was, nah, I don't want to do that. It's not a bad thing to do. I just didn't really want to do it. But I was sitting in a meeting, and I just felt like out of the blue, it was unrelated to that situation, I felt like I heard God's voice saying, you need to do this. So, out of obedience, I thought I was discerning, I did it. And it turned out to be a big, giant flop. And I spent weeks and weeks and weeks being angry at God and saying, wait a minute, I thought I heard this voice out of the blue coming and I thought I was doing it right. This was a part of God teaching me about what it means to hear his voice and what the process of discernment really is. So my heart was right. I wanted to do the right thing. I wanted to follow God. I just didn't get it right that time. And so I say that to encourage you that you may not always get it right. But God knows your intent is to seek and to discern and to listen. And he honors that intent and he works with you. All right, so there's a learning curve. It tells us in Scripture that Jesus also had to learn and become wise, which wisdom is a part of discernment, right? So Jesus had to do it. I probably have to do it. The hardest thing, I think, in discerning is how do we discern when we get this, it seems like God is asking us to do something impossible, something crazy, like, you know, buy a house in Allentown and try to start a Christian community. That was crazy, right? So how do we discern that that's really God's invitation or just something we're hearing in our head? And that's something I think we all want to know. And that's why I chose the story of Gideon today, because Gideon's story is crazy. Now, Pam had the kids acted out, but the part she didn't get to do was have the fire. So I wanted a picture with, I didn't think you were going to have a picture, have actual fire or like ice or with dry ice or anything, Pam. So I wanted to have a picture that showed that story. So the kids were telling the story, right? And it was this time in Israel's history where there was no king. And it's a time where they fell away from following God, from following Yahweh. And the Midianites had come in and were destroying all their crops. And we find Gideon, who was played by Ronick, right? And he's hiding out in this wine press and he's trying to, like, you know, get his food together, but he was secret. And the angel of the Lord shows up. And the angel says to him, you're a mighty warrior. He's like, no, I'm not. I'm a farmer and I'm afraid. That's why I'm hiding out in a wine press. Okay? And so what in the world? Why are you saying I'm a mighty warrior? What's going on here? And the angel keeps speaking to him and says, you know, the Lord has heard the cry. And God is going to step in and use you to stop the Midianites from coming in and taking over. And Gideon's like, wait a minute. I know all the old stories about how powerful God is, but we have not seen it lately. And so how do I know it's really you asking me to do this crazy thing? Because I'm a farmer hiding out in a wine press. And so this is where God does this amazing thing, because God is kind to us in our humanity, right? And also remember that in Gideon's time, in that time period, the Holy Spirit was not accessible or couldn't live in each person. You know, it came, God would send his spirit on a person at a specific time. So it's different than what we read about in the New Testament or what we all have access to today. So Gideon's really not sure. And so can you imagine him making this food for the angel? We got some food up here on a rock. And when he makes it, there's just, pyromaniacs rejoice, right? There's just like, boom, this big burst of fire that comes up. And the angel disappears. That is a very cool story. And Gideon realizes, all right, I guess maybe I should probably really listen. This is his process of discernment, right? I'm going to try. But instead of going out in the daytime and doing what God asked him to do, which is tear down the altar, the false altar, and build up an altar to God, he does it at night. He sneaks out with some people he gets, and he knocks down the other altar, and he builds up a new altar at night, thinking, oh, man, I want to follow God. This is what we do, right? We half follow God because we're still scared. And so he does that. And in the morning, the townspeople are saying, what in the world is going on? Who knocked down Baal? And where did this come from? Of course, word gets out. It's Gideon. He gets brought to the town, and they say, let's kill him. Did you ever think that following God might be so risky that it would lead you to your own death? That could have been the end of Gideon right there. But his dad stepped in. His dad, Joash, stepped in, and he says to everyone else, hey, wait a minute. If Baal is so great, let's let Baal fight for Baal. We don't have to kill Gideon. If Baal is really God, then he'll take care of Gideon. And we know, of course, that Baal is not really God, and Gideon goes on. So he was saved. God covered him. As a part of that story, Gideon having that amazing experience with the fire and the angel speaking to him, it says in Scripture that he experienced the shalom of God, God's peace. In fact, he built an altar and he said, Yahweh is my peace. And part of discernment that I identify with for sure is that there are times when God has asked me to do some strange things and I wasn't sure, but I waited upon the Lord and I listened, and there was this peace, this deep-rooted shalom that only comes from God that enabled me to move forward. And that is part of Gideon's story. So Gideon survives, right? He got his big sign. He survived. Now, just a side note, it's very tempting in 2018 to say this, well, I would know what to do too if God showed up like that. Or if God dropped a big like neon flashing sign from the sky and said, John, do this with your life. Okay, I'll do it, right? We think that, oh, we wish we were back in Gideon's time and we got these big exciting signs. The truth is, when God was giving signs like that to the children of Israel, they still disobeyed him. They still didn't follow him. Right? And so we have to be careful not to be too envious of Gideon. Not to say that God still can't give you a crazy sign, right? But we have to be careful to realize that God is maybe working in new ways today, in different ways, and to open our eyes and to pray as we seek to discern him. Let's finish Gideon's story, though, real quickly this morning. The next step after tearing down the altars for Gideon was he had to get an army together to fight the Midianites. And Gideon wasn't too sure about this, but he started getting an army together, and he was still kind of worried. So he took some wool. Where'd our woolly sheep go? He took a fleece off a lamb, and he said, all right, God, I want to believe you. I'm going to set this fleece out here, and in the morning I'm going to come out. If the fleece is dry and all around it's wet, I'll know that you really want me to go. God did it. let's try that one more time, the opposite way, God. So the next day, let's put it back out. And which way did I do it before? If the fleece is wet and the, no, whichever way, you get the idea. He flipped it, he reversed it, right? And the next morning, same thing. Okay, I'll gather up an army. I'll gather up an army. And he begins to gather an army together. And he starts out with 32,000 men. It's not too bad, right? And then God says, well, tell everybody to go home who's scared. And that means there were only 10,000 left. And then God says, well, Gideon, take them down to the water and watch how they drink water. And if they do this, they have to leave. If they lap like a dog, they get to stay. You get the dog lappers. 300. 32,000 to 300 dog lappers. That's who he had to fight the Midianites. Now, God said, remember when God tells you crazy things sometimes, you have to discern, right? God said, well, you got 300 men, dog lappers, and you're going to give them torches and jars and trumpets, and that's how you're going to fight. Jars and trumpets and torches and your voice. You're going to shout. You can imagine that Gideon was a little frightened. Still, I mean, he'd had all these signs. He had fire. He had fleeces. I mean, but is this really God, or am I going crazy? And God is so kind to him. And he does something strange. He says, Gideon, sneak down to the camp of the Midianites at nighttime. Go on down there and listen. And Gideon overheard the enemy talking. And God had given one of the men a dream. And in the dream, as they were interpreting it, the guy actually said, Gideon, God's going to give us into Gideon's hands. Can you believe it? God's way of confirming things is so gracious to Gideon, and gracious often to us when we are unsure and genuinely seeking. Okay? But we test that out. We test it out. A few weeks ago, when we were in December, when we were here as a congregation trying to discern a way forward for us, and a car pulled up outside in the middle of our congregational meeting and said, we want to rent from your space. Oh, that's interesting. But we continue to test what God is confirming. But it felt like a way of God saying, I'm caring for you, Whitehall. I'm caring for you. And we listen to that confirmation and we continue to discern, which is what we'll be doing. So Gideon got his confirmation, and his 300 dog lappers go out with their torches. They break their jars and they shout, and chaos ensues, and they have victory, and they go on to continue to fight, but God provides for them. This is the strategy of the Lord, and this is God's kindness to Gideon in his discernment process. Discernment is hard work. Discernment is hard work. It involves trust. It involves obeying what God invites us to do. There's lots of things that prevent us from discernment. We think, like I was saying, we wish that God would just drop something from the sky and tell us, hey, flashing lights, do this, go this direction. But there's lots of reasons or things that prevent us from actually trying to discern. Sometimes it's our own sinfulness. We don't want to discern because we don't want to hear what God says to do because we don't want to do it. Forgive that person? I don't think so. Right? So we just don't discern because we're disobedient. We're sinful. Sometimes we're afraid. We're fearful. I know what God's asking me to do, but man, I don't want to do it. I'm afraid. It's too risky. It's too costly. And we just give up. Sometimes we're lazy. We're just lazy. We don't want to work hard. We want to take the easy route. This is easier to do this. I'll just keep going along in my own way. And God can still be with us, right? But we're not maybe experiencing the fullness of what God has for us because we've taken the easy way out. Sometimes we're just too busy. We're so busy doing things for God, we don't want to sit down and listen to what God might have for us to do. So we don't take time to pray or to listen or to seek. And I think this is true, especially in the United States, middle class, educated people. We're independent. We're smart. God gave me a brain. Thank you. I will make my little chart of pros and cons, and that's how I will decide. And we need to be careful that we don't just become. And part of the reason God gave Gideon such a crazy strategy of war is because he didn't want any doubt that it was God doing the victory. Right? He didn't want it to be because of Gideon's fierce soldiers. No, no, no. He wanted everyone to know that it was God that had done the victory. So we need to be careful about that. I have another definition of spiritual discernment that I want to leave you with today. It is this ever increasing. So it's a growing thing. If you feel like, man, my ability to discern is here. I make bad choices all the time. Well, don't fear. You can still grow in it. You can learn. So it's an ever-increasing capacity to recognize and respond to the presence and the activity of God, both in our ordinary moments and the larger decisions of our lives, so that we can then align ourselves with whatever it is God is doing. We'll be coming back to this definition in the weeks ahead. You know, do you ever think that Moses walked around in the wilderness past a lot of bushes before he saw the one that was burning? Who knows how long God was trying to get his attention? You know, there might have been other burning bushes that he just didn't see because he wasn't paying attention. And so this is this ever-increasing capacity to begin to respond and see with spiritual eyes what God's inviting us to see. In the next few months, we are going to be forming some discernment groups thinking about our church and the future for our church. But today I want you to focus, and you have a little insert in your bulletin. It looks like this. Today I want you to think about your own work of discernment and what God has for you. Where is a crossroads that you're standing in right now? What is a decision that you need to make? Maybe it's, you know, a medical decision or how to best respond to a person or an individual or a situation that's going on in your life. Maybe it's something in your family. Maybe you're trying to decide about where you're supposed to work. I was talking to Anita today on the way here, and she had gotten a job at McDonald's, but it's far away, and then how to figure out maybe another job closer, and she got another job offer, and now she's like trying to well, how do you discern that? So we have small things, what feels big to her, but we have all these things, decisions to make. So I'd like you to read with me Jeremiah 6:16. And think about this scripture as you think about discerning. The Lord proclaims, stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the ancient paths. Where is the good way? Then walk in it and find a resting place for yourselves. Stop. You don't have to make a decision really fast. Sometimes we do. You know, if your house is burning down, you need to get out. You don't need to stop and discern too much about that. But stop, look around. Sometimes you might have more than one good option. Sometimes you don't have any good options. And you just need to wait on the Lord, right? But ask. That ancient paths thing is thinking about asking about the wise way. What is the wise way? What is the good way? And when we walk in that good way with God, we receive that rest, that peace, that shalom that Gideon got. That's deeper and makes it possible for you to even do things that feel hard. So we're going to take about 2 or 3 minutes. I invite you to take these and to pray about or just to listen to the Spirit for a minute. Are there any decisions that you need to make? Are you willing to say today, God, I want to make this with you. I don't want to rely on my smarts. I don't want to just keep avoiding it because it's a hard decision, which is what I do a lot. I'll deal with that tomorrow. I'll deal with it tomorrow. No. I want you to think about, are you willing to say, okay, This week, God, I want to work at discerning with you. I want to work at it about this particular thing, whatever the Spirit brings to your mind. So we'll take a few minutes. If it's helpful for you to write it down on here, do so. If it's not, that's okay. And then in a few minutes, Pam will come up and lead us in a song of surrendering all of our decisions to God and trusting Him with that. So we'll take a little bit of time for you to write and to think, and then Pam will close us with a song.